Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love Him, too. God is good. His word is righteous. When we seek the Lord, our God and King, when we make known to others what He said, we're helping people come to life. Any time that a man is reunited with the Father through Jesus Christ, who's the only one that can do this, there is no other man, angel, or anybody that can reunite us with the Father. Only Jesus did. Only Jesus, who also is the Word of God. And all things were made by Him. So, through Christ, we come to the Father. When we speak the word that God give us to speak to others, and they receive it, then God's going to back it up. When I tell you that God loves you, and you believe Him through Jesus Christ, and you act on His word, the Father backs up every word spoken to you by His word. When you believe on Jesus Christ that He died to save you, to redeem you back to the Father, He died in your place. He arose and justified you. See, as He is, so are we in this world. If Jesus died for you, you don't have to die for yourself. The justice of God has been satisfied through the blood of the Lamb. He shed His own blood. He let men kill Him, stab Him, hurt Him. And His broken body, He redeemed you. That's why you can get healed. It don't matter what happened to you. It don't matter if you lost an eye. God can give you a new eye. It don't matter if your arms got cut off. God can give you a new arm. I'm not just talking about in the next life. I'm talking about right now. And if the Lord bless you with a missing limb, you won't be the first person on earth to receive one. It's happening, folks. The Lord is in the healing business. Some people are struggling, they're in pain, they're struggling to be healed, but Jesus already gave you healing. So it depends on will you believe for it? Will you believe what He's done in your for you? Now, sometimes you may hear me say that I stay after the Lord about certain things. I pray about it and I don't let it go. Everything when I ask the Lord to teach me to live in His presence, for instance, I said, Lord, I want to be, wherever I go, I want it to be just like I am with You in this prayer room. I could sense His presence. See, God can reveal His presence and He can also be right there with you and conceal His presence. You don't always feel His presence. But I wanted to always feel His presence because in His presence, I felt like I could do all things. And I can. The reality is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so can you. But the other half of that is I can't do all things by myself without the Lord's help. That's a fact. But the comfort is, I can do all things through Christ, because as He is, so are we in this world. Now, what did the Father, what did Jesus do that others didn't? He stayed with the Father, and He sought the Father's will. Every time, if you study His life and all the miracles He did, He always made time to go spend time with His Father. And all the apostles did the same thing. They spent time in prayer. Paul said, I prayed in tongues more than you all in Corinthians 14. Now, he had to set order because man, see, you can't follow God with a satanic mind. In other words, a satanic mind is nothing but a lustful mind or a greedy mind or a mind that's proud. And people love, I recently asked the Lord, what were you talking about when you said the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod? Now listen closely, because I'm going to tell you what he gave me in prayer. You know, Jesus said, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So I said, Lord, what is the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod? What's the difference and what are they? What are you referring to? I had an idea, but I wanted more information on this. And he said, the Pharisees, they love praise. And Herod loves power. And Satan loves both. I didn't know he was going to tell me that part. But see, the leaven of the Pharisees, that's the love of praise. You want somebody, you always after somebody recognizing you. It's a need. And then the leaven of Herod, if you study Herod, he loved power. He'll do anything for power. He'll sell you out for power. He tried to find out where Jesus was so he could kill him because he felt like the anointed one was that baby was a threat to his power. So everybody 2 years old and under, he had the soldiers kill them because he wanted power. But Satan loves both. He loves praise and power. So if praise is important to you and power is important to you and being preeminent over others is important, then your whole logic is off. But when you love God and His righteousness and you just want to see people blessed by the Lord, you want to see God fulfill His will in the lives of others, and you want to see people receive what God is giving to be in order to be a blessing to others, now you got the heart of God. So out in life, if you're a preacher and then somebody else is more precise in their preaching or they're doing a good job, you don't try to shut them down. You try to alert people that, hey, they got a good word over there. And we need it. See, that's how that, see, the Lord, he's raising people up. Now, a lot of people have been praying for God to send laborers. Then when the laborers come and they're doing what they're supposed to and they're very effective, then why act like the devil and say, well, y'all don't need to go over there. See, a man in love or a woman in love praise, they can't honor others when honors do. I listen to people, you know, I listen to other people on this radio station. And I thank God. I thank God for what they're doing. The songs that they write, they're beautiful. I've heard women preaching on this radio station, and they bless me many days. Listen, when God is in something, He's in it. I thank God for every laborer. See, in the world, there's competition. But when you have a renewed mind, there's no competition. Now today, the Lord put on my heart to talk about the challenges. Every time the Lord is doing something good in us, in His people, the enemy wants to stop it. And he has ways of challenging people that God is building up. So if you're doing well, Jesus said, if you bear fruit, I'll purge you and you'll bear more fruit. Well, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. If you're bearing fruit already, He's going to purge you. He's going to filter out the things that's not good so that you can bear more fruit. In other words, He's going to reveal Himself to you in a much greater way as you receive and partake of what He's doing. But it's not without a fight. Now, last week we talked about Luke chapter 9. You know, James and John wanted to call fire down out of heaven against the Samaritans when they were not receiving Jesus. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're like. See, how many times does the enemy tempt people and they don't filter it and they don't have Jesus they don't ask the Lord, Lord, what about this thought right here? See, they repented from that evil thought. And I know they did. Because John wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. When Jesus showed them the heart of God, they received it. They were receptive. When people read the word of God and they receive the essence of what God is saying, they share that kind of love now. And then when you see what the enemy is doing, what Satan is doing, and the proud people are doing, and the Pharisees and Herod and people like that, you see what's not the heart of God. So don't let that kind of living into you. Now, if you were raised in a good home and you had parents that love God and love man, and they went to church, they taught you the word of God, they spent time with you and taught you things, the enemy is, the way he'll challenge children that grow up in a good loving home, he'll try to make them curious about what's going on TV and what their friends are doing. And when they go across the street or down the street to play with their neighbor's children, they see another type of family doing other things. You know, the father in that house may not be there. He may be at work, and the mother may not care what they're doing. They might be in the house watching who knows what. And remember, everything looks good from a certain point of view. And when you want something, when there's something that you like, you want to try it. And if you don't know what it'll do to you, the carnal mind would say, well, why not? But see, the things of darkness, they come with a danger. There's a dangerous side to it that you don't see up front. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Don't forget, everything is free on the website. And this broadcast is on there in real time. And I thank God for it. And I'm creating a page for my dad. My dad was a wonderful man of God. Those in the Utah area in the 70s and 80s, you will remember Reverend Thurston Hamby Jr. I don't know if he used Jr. or not, but I'm the third. Nevertheless, he passed in 2010, but I'm making a website. I have his tapes. And I'm cleaning them up, and I thank God for that. They're going to be on the website as well. Now, challenges. Everybody's challenged. Satan don't want people going around bearing the light of God's word, representing Jesus, teaching Jesus, showing, loving others. He always want to cause a problem between those who love God and those who don't know him yet. See, children, they grew up in a good home. They have to get to know the Lord for themselves. God don't have any grandchildren. He got children. He got people. You're not going to go to heaven because your parents went to heaven. Everybody that go to heaven, they're going because they made Jesus their Lord and they trust the Lord. They took God at his word. Now, we pray for our children, we teach them the right way, but it's up to them to submit and go to God and believe on Jesus and live the life of God. Don't kid yourself. There is an attack against the lifestyle of God. And if you grew up poor, in a home where there was a lot of angry words, discouragement, fussing, fighting, the enemy, he's challenging you. He's trying to get you to believe that there's no hope. That everybody's like your parents, or like those who fuss and fight and whatever they do. But God has people that love him. God has people that love, parents that love their children, that bless their children. They work hard to provide for them. So, and when you do, then God can move in their lives. So the enemy is slick. People that grew up in a good situation, he'll try to make them feel guilty when they compare themselves to people who had a more or less fortunate condition. And then curious about the world that starts that kind of poverty in the first place. And then people that grew up in a hard case, he tried to make them feel like there's no way out. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves us all. And he has a plan for everybody. But it's up to you to overcome the challenges through Christ who strengthens you. That's up to you, not God. You have to take God and his word, whether you came up in a good situation, a poor situation, a mediocre situation, or almost got killed every day. You still got to believe God and take him at his word. And then you'll see the handiwork of what Jesus came to give us. And don't feel isolated. Everybody's challenged. Everybody. Some people break through and they learn to break through and they come from varied backgrounds. Some people, they had no way. I mean, their whole life was all, they never seen much good. But when they heard about Jesus, when they saw the light of God's word in action, they came and they broke through. All right. People don't know it, but children that grow up in a good home or a good situation, they have to break through too. There are challenges to people who are wealthy. There are challenges to people that are middle class, so to speak. I don't like to classify people. I just love people. But because of their background, there are different sorts of challenges. See, if you grow up wealthy, you're used to things being the way you want them right now. Because you have means and provision to do it, it depends on what kind of raising you were under. If you had wealthy parents that spoiled you and gave you everything time you asked for it, then you're going to think that you should be catered to. And when God don't cater to you like your parents did, which they did foolishly, then you got to break through those. You got another type of challenge to break through. If you had wealthy parents that were wise and they taught you work ethic and taught you to serve others and be a blessing, you're going to be more balanced. Those are the kind that start businesses to be a blessing to people. Those are the kind that go about doing good. But the enemy would challenge them in ways that he always believed that we think like he does. So he'll try to get them to be selfish. He'll try to get them to be lazy. You know, if you came from diligent parents, he's going to try to get you to be lazy or unconcerned with others. But see, when you have the love of God in you, you're going to gravitate to the things of God. And you'll break through the barriers of being lazy and unconcerned about others. But if you come from a selfish home where the parents were self-centered and stingy, then it's harder to believe that God is generous. So you got to break through what was set before you of your first human authority figures. And you have to break. See, even in a good home, everything, people are not fully balanced in most cases. So whatever's lacking, you got to break through and find God's word and do God's word in order to have balance again. But because of what you don't know, that's where the enemy starts challenging you. See, the devil, you got to understand your enemy. The Lord said in Ezekiel chapter 28 that he sealed up the sun. In other words, he knows things. He knows how to pervert things. He knows how things should be. Before he was Satan, he was Lucifer. Very beautiful, very wise. And because he was beautiful and wise, he got in pride. He started looking within. Then he started desiring power and praise that goes to God. because he was beautiful and wise. He felt like he wanted more and more attention. People that want attention, that's a terrible thing to be challenged with. I've seen women with low self-esteem. They're beautiful, but they don't believe that they don't believe that they're beautiful. And they try to make the difference. And they dress provocatively. They act. They want attention. That's a challenge. See, with God, you don't. I want to put it where you can get it. We are complete in Jesus. We don't need props and crutches. When you got Jesus, you got everything. And then when you do his word, that's where the fulfillment of life is. It's not in how much praise you can drum up for yourself. People that want praise, people work out in the gym to no end because they want to look good. They want the respect of others, the praise of man, and then preeminent pride. These things are dangerous. It's one thing to bodybuild and to live a quality life and to look your best. That's fine. But guess what? That's not everything. People ought to look, fix themselves up, but not to a destructive end. The challenges of Satan, they come to rob you. They don't come to help you. He'll make you feel like you're nothing without this product, or you're nothing unless you do this or that, if you don't look a certain way. People who have long-term relationships, good healthy marriages, the marriage is based on the love of God. Women are beautiful from within, not without. It's your heart, the condition of your heart. I've seen people, they're beautiful, they look good, but they don't think they look good. They don't appreciate what God gave them. They don't appreciate the way that they look, the way they shape, whatever. They focus on the wrong thing. But when you focus on the love of God and you have the hope of God, you look different. That's the real beauty of a person, that character. And everything else is going to change, but your character can't. If you have a renewed mind, you're thinking like the Lord, you're learning his ways and his word, then you're not going to lose your beauty as a woman, and even as a man, you're going to have that stability that others would love to have. See, the work that Jesus did in us is greater than how we can make ourselves appear. But the challenges come to all. If you're diligent, he wants you to be lazy. If you're lazy, he wants you to stay lazy. He don't want you to see the point in good, diligent effort. But whatever kind of challenge you have to deal with, you're not isolated. The enemy he's doing this to everybody. I want to show you a scripture. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5, it sums all this up. It says, I'll start at verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. See, this works. God know what he's doing. Watch this. For God resists the proud. He resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Then he said this, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you, for he cares for you. Casting all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. When you feel downcast, cast your care to the Lord. He cares for you. And he will take it from you. It's like he'll take your load away. Verse 8, it says, be sober, Watch this now. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So, whatever the enemy is challenging you with, you're not isolated. When Satan comes along with a thought, don't receive it. If it's adultery, fornication, witchcraft, stealing, homosexuality, don't receive it as your own. Those thoughts don't come to the mind of man, because God didn't give us evil things. See, what you have to go with what God put in you. He didn't put nothing like that in you. If it's evil, and all those things are evil, listed in Galatians 5, the evil things that keep people out of the kingdom of God, God didn't put that in you. That comes from the dark side. It's a challenge against you. You're not isolated. Everybody goes through something. And then we break through. We're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. We break through. And when you break through, you broke through. Then you know that you're doing things God's way, and God is in you and helping you in this life. You don't have to surrender or pledge allegiance to anything that's like Satan. But pledge your allegiance to Jesus and the Father and the Word of God, and love the people of God. Love every soul just like Jesus loved you. And you're going to come to balance. But the love of the world is dangerous. I'm going to end with this statement. The Lord told me recently, he said, all who love the world system have only one thing in common. They have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. And they don't even know why. They have a problem with God and they don't know why. When they hear a good report from the people of God, they get angry and can't rejoice with them. They don't know why. But it's attached to the love of this world. When you receive the darkness as truth, the enmity of God is connected to it. And it'll keep you from entering into the things of God. That's why people don't receive salvation. They throw it away as if it's worthless. But when they're on the other side, they'll wish they had it. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory. Live in victory. Breakthrough. And live a covenant.